Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with threats made by Glenn Greenwald that he would publish secrets about England's spy system that would make the British, quote, sorry for what they did for detaining his partner at London's Heathrow Airport. NSA whistleblower William Binney, who served 37 years at the National Security Agency, rising to the rank of Technical Director of the World Geopolitical and Military Analysis and Reporting Group, joins us to talk about the escalating war between the leakers and the governments. Then, on the 60th anniversary of the 1953 coup in Iran, we will discuss what the CIA finally admitted to in a declassified report that states the military coup that overthrew Mossadegh and his National Front cabinet was carried out under CIA direction as an act of U.S. foreign policy conceived and approved at the highest levels of government. Iranian-American historian Dr. Mazia Behrouz joins us to analyze the legacy of this less-than-surprising secret American coup that placed the Shah on the peacock throne. Then finally, we'll assess the fate of San Diego's embattled Mayor Bob Filner, now known as Filthy Filner, against whom a recall petition has just been announced. Stephen Erie, professor of political science and director of the Urban Studies Program at the University of California, San Diego, and author of Paradise Plundered, Fiscal Crisis and Governance Failures in San Diego, joins us to discuss the serial sex scandal enveloping America's eighth largest city. And joining us now is William Binney, who served 32 years in the National Security Agency and another 4 years in the military component of the NSA for a total of 37 years. He rose to the rank of the Technical Director of the World Geopolitical and Military Analysis and Reporting Group at the National Security Agency. Welcome to Background Briefing, William Binney.
Thank you.
And you have been described as a whistleblower, and I think indeed you were a genuine whistleblower in as much as you tried to go through channels at the NSA, I understand, to report on waste and fraud and to be, in effect, a steward for the taxpayer. And I take it that they treated you like a criminal, did they not? They took away your security clearance. And were you arrested?
Well, I wasn't arrested, but I was raided by the FBI, and the Department of Justice attempted to prosecute me or indict me on three different occasions, all falsely. They were contrived charges. They were falsifying evidence to do it.
But you never took any classified material out of the NSA, and presumably if you would, they would have really nailed you, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they would have, yeah. They and in fact, they tried to do that with Tom Drake, but Tom didn't have any classified material, but what they did was they took material he had and did a review of it and said, well, let's classify this so we can charge him with having classified material. That's exactly what they did. But that didn't pass the smell test in court, and so their whole case fell apart.
Well, I just wanted to get a preface on your who you are in terms of a genuine whistleblower and get into the headline for today, or one of the headlines, of course, which was that David Miranda, who lives with Glenn Greenwald, who is the main leaker, if you will, of Edward Snowden's material, David Miranda was detained at the airport in London for, I think, about 9 hours, where he's interrogated. And then he finally was released and then went on to Rio de Janeiro, where he lives with Glenn Greenwald. And Glenn Greenwald met him at the airport there and made a statement at the airport that was pretty provocative in the sense that he's sort of challenging the British government. I mean, what was your response to what Glenn Greenwald said?
Well, I thought it was pretty much the case that I, from my perspective anyway, that both the British government and Glenn need to cool off a little bit. The British government needs to, if they have an issue with Glenn, they should take it up with Glenn. If they have an issue with someone else, they should take it up with someone else. You just don't pick people up off the street just because they have relationships with other people and treat them like that. So I would say they need to cool it off, and so does Glenn. So it's kind of, both sides are going to extremes in my view.
Well, what Greenwald said at the airport, just quoting him, is, I will be far more aggressive in my reporting from now. I am going to publish many more documents. I'm going to publish things on England, too. I have many documents on England's spy system. I think they will be sorry for what they did. And then he went on to say, they wanted to intimidate our journalists to show that they have power and will not remain passive. but will attack us more intensely if we continue publishing their secrets. So he's sort of laying down the gauntlet, but I find it extraordinary that a single individual could be in possession of so many secrets to the point where he could challenge a government, in this case the British government, but I imagine by extension he's also challenging the American government. I mean,
I think that's probably because they're desperate to find out how much material he really does have. And that's why they stopped him. But they shouldn't have treated him that way for that long. I mean, if they wanted to ask him questions, they could stop him and ask questions, but that's about it, you know, and then let him continue on his way. You know, if you want to harass people for long periods of time in an airport, I guess they can do that, but...
Well, they took his laptop and all of his thumb drives,
right.
And prior to that, there was a break-in in Glenn Greenwald's residence in Rio de Janeiro some weeks back, I think months back, when the Edward Snowden story first broke.
That's called a sneak and peek, yeah. That's what they do. Sneak, peek, and take.
Right.
If there was something there to take, I'm sure they would have taken it.
Well, I just wanted to get a sense, though, from you as a genuine whistleblower who blew the whistle on principle to protect the American taxpayer and didn't expose any American secrets to anybody that could be considered hostile to the United States, there is obviously a huge difference here with what's happened with the Edward Snowden case. And since Glenn Greenwald has been the main source of much of the leaks, there's some mystery as to why Barton Gellman of the Washington Post, what he has and why none of it's appeared, or very little of it's appeared in the Washington Post. But Glenn Greenwald apparently has been feeding stuff to the Guardian and has now threatened the British government in retaliation against them questioning his partner that he will release more secrets. One of the things that he also said he had and threatened to release was a blueprint of the entire architecture of the National Security Agency. So as a former senior officer in the National Security Agency, what would this mean if that were released?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I don't really know what he has. It could involve all their assets and all their sources of information and things like that. And that certainly would not be a public service to do that kind of release.
But
I'm not sure what he has.
Right, and I take it you are not sure whether the Russians or the Chinese have it as well.
No, I don't know who has it now.
Right.
So,
but doesn't this bring up a real question about when you said maybe the government and Glenn Greenwald should cool it? That's pretty much my response. You know, this thing's getting out of hand. I mean, if a single individual can threaten an entire government with secret material that he's holding, that doesn't sound like a whistleblower. That sounds, in many ways, a reflection of the same kind of imperious and bullying attitude that governments themselves adopt. So
right,
I don't
right,
see any winners in right. this, do you?
No, I don't either, and that's why I thought that they should both cool it. You know, the governments are acting in a bullying fashion, too. So they need to do things properly, I think, and above board.
So what would there be a mechanism? I mean, obviously Snowden himself said that there was nowhere he could go except out of the United States. And I think Dianne Feinstein and others said, no, he should come back and air his grievances here. He chose not to do that. And many people argue that if he had done that, he'd spend the rest of his life in jail, like Bradley Manning is being threatened with. So
after going through some term of torture, you know, or semblance of torture, yeah.
So what could be done then to find a way for both sides, you know, the government and the leakers to come to some kind of accommodation so that it's a win-win. The government gets to protect its secrets if indeed they're not already lost, and that the leakers get to have the public debate, which, after all, President of the United States, Barack Obama, called for.
Yes, but you have to question whether or not he really and genuinely meant to do that. Because, again, the question is, has he set up a mechanism where whistleblowers in the intelligence community have a means of getting their complaints aired? And if they're validated, like the DOD IG's office did with the complaints we filed, then what is the mechanism or what has he done to try to correct those problems? The point really is that nobody really wants to change anything. They want to keep it going the way it is. and it includes all the fraud, waste, and corruption, as well as outright lying and criminal activity. So, I mean, unless there's a means for that to be corrected and it's done openly where everybody can see it happening and see the corrections and a start, at least the process to correct things, then no one has confidence or trust in government.
Again, I'm speaking with William Binney, who served for 32 years in the National Security Agency and another 4 years in the military component of the NSA for a total of 37 years. He rose to the rank of the Technical Director of the World Geopolitical and Military Analysis and Reporting Group at the National Security Agency. So within the House and Senate Select Committees of Intelligence, which came up, which were born out of a lot of scandals after Watergate, and there was a lot of public outrage, and these select committees were set up to be a kind of, you know, the people's watchdog, if you will, over the intelligence agencies. Is there anything within those committees that could be done, could be improved? Because there's a couple of senators who seem to be chafing at the bit to release information that they think the public deserves to know, but they are restrained from doing so. I'm sure you're familiar.
I think the committees have been co-opted by the agencies they're supposed to be overseeing, and they really don't do effective oversight. So, I mean, if you've ever watched any of their interviews or testimony given by the agencies like General Alexander or anybody else going down there to testify in those committees, all their questions are basically softball questions. They don't ask penetrating, inquiring questions. In other words, they're supposed to be more of an adversary than an advocate. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the point. And they're not. They're basically a part of the system that the agencies are, and they support each other. So it's not a question of them being able to do something. We need another check and balance on those committees.
Well, do you have, though, is there any possibility that in the closed sessions that there's a more vigorous give and take as opposed to the public sessions?
I rather doubt that because of the way the committee chairs and members are talking, most of them anyway.
Right.
They simply are pushing the line that the administration pushes and the agency pushes without any kind of adversarial view, you know, which is really why they were created. They were supposed to be adversaries. They're supposed to be doing hardcore checks and balances on what those people are doing. And obviously, since some of them have said they didn't know all this was happening, obviously they've not been doing a very good job.
Well, it's true. And as I mentioned, you know, Jeffrey Merkley, Senator Merkley, and Udall both seem to be chafing at the bit to release more information. And they've hinted rather bluntly that there's a lot more to the story that Snowden leaked in terms of these.
He just talked about a small portion of it, yeah, so far.
So when and if is any of this stuff going to be aired, or are we just – because the thing that concerns me about what's happening now with Greenwald and the idea that a person like Greenwald or a person like Julian Assange can basically declare war on governments – in a kind of, you know, like a Western gunfighter calling them out. What I'm afraid of is at some point or other, there could be a backlash to this, and governments could institute restrictions on the press to the extent that if you receive these leaks, you're legally culpable. In other words, legal contamination could be the next step if this kind of grandstanding continues to go on.
Well, I think that's probably one of their objectives, yeah. Especially like Jim Risen, they were trying to do that with Jim Risen with his with the leak originally, with the warrantless wiretapping, and then also the book that he wrote about CIA, I guess, and some of the things in that book. So I think that was the objective since then, and they've been trying to get around to that one way or another. So I think that's the objective of government. So it's to basically silence a free press.
Well, it would seem, though, that Greenwald's statements and Assange's behavior may actually be helping the government in moving in that direction.
Well, also it could be forcing them to expose their real intent, which may the point is that the public needs to react to what the government's doing as well as what Greenwald's saying and get involved and start to saying, here's what we want our government to do. They haven't been doing that so far, but there's a move now that's and I think Representative Amash and others in the House and in the Senate also are trying to move to correct some of this. Because after all, Representative Sensenbrenner, who wrote the Patriot Act, said that the interpretation they're using from that court order that they issued to Verizon to do domestic and intelligence spying on every citizen in the United States was not the intent of the, of his writing the Patriot Act. That was not the intent of Congress at the time. So that basically tells you that they have had this secret interpretation, and they've got they've had the FISA court basically do agree with them in secret. So this secret interpretation is reinforced by a secret court that issues orders in secret to people who aren't allowed to tell anybody. They have to keep a secret about it. So everything's being done in secret. And what that really means is we're ending up with a secret constitution that nobody really knows what's going on anymore. So that's really fundamentally destroying our democracy.
Well, and it was Representative Amash who, along with Congressman Conyers, brought that bill to the floor that was a very close vote on shutting down section the use of Section 215 of the Patriot Act. Also, Congressman Sensenbrenner, the author of the Patriot Act, has written an op-ed in the Los Angeles Times basically saying that the government's classifying too much information. There's just
That's true, too.
So
I think all of this really needs to be done, opened up and dealt with in the Supreme Court and ruled one way or the other, it's constitutional or not, and then terminated or not, according to the ruling. But I mean, you know, we can't just let this continue because they've twisted laws and made secret interpretations. And I mean, you know, this is not the way our democracy is supposed to be, that's for sure.
But just in closing, as a whistleblower yourself, can you see a fair mechanism that would have allowed, for example, Snowden to get a fair hearing, without having to run off and then end up in the hands of the Chinese and the Russians and have freelancers like Julian Assange and Greenwald in possession of an extraordinary trove of government secrets, which they can then threaten governments with, which is what Greenwald has just done? And, you know, on the other side, you know, you've got the example of Bradley Manning, and this kid could spend, 100 years in jail if he lives that long. So I'm just wondering if there would be a way to navigate through this without this kind of opera that we're watching now.
Well, currently, I don't think there is. But, you know, there have been moves afoot to try to do whistleblower protection acts out of Congress and so on, and to include the intelligence community whistleblowers in that act, which they currently are not, by the way. That's part of the problem. There's no real mechanism that would protect people coming down. Like when we tried to do that, there's nothing that protected us from the retribution of the NSA and the FBI and the DOJ. And that's exactly what happened to us. So I know that Snowden had watched what happened to us and also Bradley Manning, and basically made his decision based on that, which was to exit the country and take the stuff with him, or whatever he did with it.
Well, William Binney, I thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with William Binney, who served for 32 years in the National Security Agency and another 4 years in the military component of the NSA for a total of 37 years. He rose to the rank of the Technical Director of the World Geopolitical and Military Analysis and Reporting Group at the National Security Agency. We're going to take a brief station break and back talking about the fact that the CIA has finally admitted that they were behind the 1953 coup that happened 60 years ago in Iran.